Erica Driscoll.
Hi, I'm Kevin Rice.
Nathan Beal.
I'm Steve Stout.
So I'll fill in some blanks. Let's see, there's Grand Rapids, Michigan, home of much furniture making.
Yes.
See, I've been there.
Oh, wow.
Scary.
Awesome. Yeah.
Long story, we won't go into why I've been there, been involved in ex-wife. But anyway, but I've been there. Playing instruments since young, 2004, LA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, you know, we moved to New York and released an EP on our own that got us quite a bit of attention, actually. We had a lot of different write-ups in different magazines and stuff. Ended up actually eventually signing with EMI UK for a short time. And so we were going there, spending like 3 weeks at a time, spending time in London recording and writing songs and stuff. And in the end, it was at the time that they got bought out by Terra Firma. So we ended up getting dropped with a bunch of bands at the time, and which was, you know, not what we wanted out of it, but I feel like in the long run it ended up being a good thing for us. And so we were a little disenchanted after that happened and kind of like a bit lost with what we should do. But so we kind of like took a little break almost for a little bit, and eventually that's what we like to do together is write songs. So my brother and I just started writing again, and eventually released my Someday on Our Own. You know, we have an older sister, so we were all kind of playing music together, and we actually had a band all together, kind of a total family band. And
Mom and Dad even came
no,
in and
they,
played washboard and
they,
washboard and
thankfully
other
they weren't
weird
involved, but
oh, okay, thank goodness. I agree with that. That's scary.
That's taking it too far.
Yeah.
But we did like college tours, and we toured around, and you know, it was all really well. We all were really close family, so it was fun. We ended up getting a management out of Chicago and ended up getting hooked up with going out to LA and recording some demos with different producers. And, you know, there was a bit of a buzz going around with different labels at the time. And we did some showcases, and the direction was super pop. Like, I felt like they were kind of making us go in a direction.
The label was?
Well, our management and these producers we were working with in order, because they wanted us to get signed, you know. And we were pretty young, so we were just kind of going along with the whole thing because we were just newbies. Like, us going out to LA and recording was like a big deal. And so we were kind of getting pushed in the super pop direction, which wasn't completely us.
Now, but back then, we're talking what year? 2001, 2002? Because super pop back then,
it was
super,
I think it was whenever it was around the time.
It was a little different.
It was around the time when Michelle Branch was big.
Okay.
So we were pretty young.
So pre-KP and...
It was like, I remember Vanessa Carlton was on the radio.
Okay.
And they were kind of like pushing us to be more like that.
Piano ballads.
Yeah, like super, and then like, yeah, exactly. So,
You know, it's covered Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that song.
Yeah,
bingo.
So that could work.
Yeah. But I'm so like...
Ace of Bass.
Yeah, Ace
yeah.
of Bass.
I like
Way
Ace
into
of
that.
Yeah.
Way into that right there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so we kind of went through this whole thing, and we were meeting with all these labels, and in the end, like, we never really got a great offer out of that, and it kind of was like... It felt like we had put so much energy into this project with the three of us, and it didn't... I felt like we kind of took it as far as we could, and we didn't end up getting signed or anything, and so then we kind of regrouped after that, and my brother and I always felt like we were more on the same page, I guess. You know, and my sister, she's an amazing singer.
So you
singer.
Kicked Monica out.
Yeah, kind of. My parents,
I'm so
like,
sad right now.
I know. My parents were so
Monica,
angry
if you're
with
listening,
us.
It's okay.
I love you.
It's okay. Really, it's a family thing.
Yeah, no, that was actually pretty difficult, because we just felt like it kind of went as far as it could as this three thing. And also, I felt like I was kind of contributing a lot of the songwriting, and I played guitar, and I would bring these songs, and like, I felt like I always had to like leave a verse open for her to write.
What I want you all to just for a minute talk about is, you know, there's the buzz factor. When you are faced with this sort of thing, and when you are faced with an LA band, and you know, and the whole buzz scene that goes around it, talk about what that means versus actually establishing yourself as a long-term, real live.
I mean, I think it's...
And I want you to talk about that for a second, because it's kind of interesting. interesting.
I mean, I think it's cool that they think we're going to break out in this thing, but it's like funny because we've been doing it for so long.
That's the point.
And
yeah.
Having, you know, success.
It's been what, how many year breakout?
Dear God, I know.
Yeah, it's we've a long breakout.
Got to get proactive.
Some bands do. I mean, some bands do. They do.
So it may seem like, I mean, I do feel like growing just because we've been putting so much energy into it and that like more and more people are knowing about it. But like we do have like a fan base already just, you know, based on our how long we've been around, so.
Right, so talk.
Well, I mean, that's like the classic Best New Artist thing, you know, when people win Best New Artist Grammy and they're like, great, that's awesome, you know, overnight success, we've been doing it for 20 years or however long, you know. I mean, like Kings of Leon is a great example of that. I feel like they had been building and building for years and the mainstream kind of ignored them, and then they had that huge record and they broke out and it's like, oh, overnight success, they've broken through.
Yeah.
But they've really been slugging it out for years.
Yeah.
And really,
good point, Kevin.
I mean, I think the main point is like, we're, you know, when you're in a band, you're making art, you're making music, and you're performing it. And if you just keep yourself in that bubble and like, not really worry about all that stuff, you just keep doing that, you know.
Yeah.
Just like when you hit a certain wall, you just go, okay, we'll figure it out and do it a different way. And now like, our sister's not in the band, you know, and you just like figure out a new way, and then. If it starts to break, then it's almost better that you go through all those like trials and tribulations.
But little things like a sink, little things like a Honda commercial, little things like that, there's always this perception of reality, oh, they're on a big label and they're making millions.
Yeah, or, you know, it's pretty luxurious.
Yeah,
you know, to me, I think like any way that you can get people to hear your music, and I feel like being on television is a completely different audience, and I feel like I discover music on TV. Like if I hear a song in a commercial that I think is like cool, I'll Google it and be like, who is that, you know? And I feel like it just exposes you to a whole different audience that you maybe wouldn't have, or people wouldn't know about your band. Of course, we wouldn't want to do like maybe a diaper commercial or something, but like we would pick and choose, you know. But,
where
like,
the babies are.
Where the babies are. We'll just change the lyrics.
Yeah.
Steve and I do drive Hondas, so.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Honda was my first car, actually, so no.
There you go.
But yeah. I mean,
nice. Well done.
I mean, I feel like maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it was kind of like abhorrent to do that kind of thing, you know, to license your music, but now it's. Because there's so few avenues to make real money and sustain yourself as a band or as an artist, it's become like
touring, sinks, merchandise.
Yeah, pretty much. And so it's become
record sales?
Really kind of like a necessity kind of to do that. I think. So I think there's a lot less negative stigma I think associated with it.
I think so too, definitely.
Than there was even like a few years ago.
And it doesn't hurt to be in LA, does it?
No.
To get sinks, because you're kind of surrounded by a ton of music supervisor. Human
definitely,
beings.
And all the TV people.
But you've been at this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You did get signed to Warner's.
Yes.
You know, after, you know, and in between, right, you started releasing your own stuff, and then the EMI thing didn't work. But you're on a big label. They have lots of power. But do you ever talk about how big you want to get, and do you care? I mean, because you're here at South by Southwest, you get to play sold-out shows, and, you know, quite a few people. But then in real life, you can do festivals. And then in real life, you know, then it becomes is it playing the Troubadour? Is it playing Madison Square Garden? And where does that all shake out? And what's your perception of all of that?
I mean, of course, I want as many people to be into the band as possible. And be, you know, however many people like it is, you know, how big I want it to get, you know. But definitely just having our core audience is the main thing. Like people that just get us. And